Severance Season 2 is coming to Apple TV+.
What you all did 5 months ago was one of the most painful moments in the history of this company.
Our message got out. We're famous.
All of us equally, or one of us is like the star.
What did you see?
My Audi's wife is Miss Casey.
If you want to find out what happened to her, I'll help.
She's still alive.
I want to see my wife.
We should have left.
Severance. New season streaming January 17th. Only on Apple TV+.
Right now, get up to 25% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 25% off at the Home Depot to organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic. Visit homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies?
I got it.
No, I got it.
Seriously, I insist.
I insisted first.
Oh, don't be silly.
You don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash back on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
No! The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Clean water access helps kids soak up childhood. Girls can be in class instead of walking hours for water. Kids can be climbing trees and skinning knees instead of being sick with waterborne diseases. Sponsor a child at worldvision.org/waterforkids and help ensure access to life-changing essentials like clean water.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, a show where America is the star and the American people. On January 29th, 1774, Benjamin Franklin was called to appear in Britain before a select group of the king's advisors in an octagonal-shaped room in a palace known as the cockpit. Though Franklin entered the room as a dutiful servant of the British crown, he left as a budding American revolutionary. And it was this event that ultimately pitted Franklin against his own son, suggesting that the revolution was in no small part a civil war. Here to tell the story is renowned Franklin historian Sheila Skemp, author of The Making of a Patriot, Benjamin Franklin at the Cockpit. Let's take a listen.
Benjamin Franklin was not a provincial man. As a young boy, he had lived in England for 18 mostly pleasurable months when he was still trying to figure out what he wanted to do with his life. He returned in 1757, remained in London 5 more years. This time, he came not as a bewildered boy trying to find his way in the big city, but as a man whose intellectual credentials had dazzled men of letters throughout Western Europe. He'd already conducted his famous kite experiment, becoming known everywhere as the man who tamed the lightning. He'd been admitted to London's prestigious Royal Society, an honor few Englishmen and even fewer Americans were ever able to attain. And once in England, he was wined and dined and feted and celebrated everywhere he went. It's not surprising that when he finally left for home in 1762, he wasn't very happy about it. He might have missed his wife and daughter, but he promised one London friend, he said, "I will return, and this time I will settle here forever." He got back home, and he still missed London. He told more than one person, Pennsylvania, even Philadelphia, is a provincial backwater. It just doesn't compare to the big city. And so he was delighted when, less than 2 years after he got back to Philadelphia for the second time, he returned to England once more. He went there, ironically, to try to get the king to turn Pennsylvania into a royal colony. This at the very time when the Stamp Act was just going into effect. The irony there, to my mind, is rather amazing. Franklin loved England, not just because of the friends he had, not just because of the honors he received, not just because of the stimulating conversations he enjoyed there, but because he had devoted most of his adult life to the service of king and country. Just a few examples. He'd helped raise money for the king's army during the French and Indian War. He'd used his influence to secure a job as royal governor of New Jersey for his son, William. He'd worked long and hard and ultimately fruitlessly to make Pennsylvania a royal colony. He had made excuses over and over and over again for King and Parliament when the government enacted the Stamp Act and the Townshend Acts, earning himself enemies in Pennsylvania as a result. He steadily sought to become a member of the king's government, to get a more important position than that post office job. He did all this and more, not just because he was an ambitious man, though I think he was a very ambitious man, but because he really and truly believed that Englishmen on both sides of the water would benefit from seeing themselves, as he put it, not as belonging to different communities with different interests, but as one community with one interest. He wanted an Anglo-American alliance based upon equality that would be, as he put it, the awe of the world. And so he was a real English patriot up until almost the end. As late as 1770, the year of the Boston Massacre, he was urging the colonists to maintain a steady loyalty to the king, and claimed that George had the best disposition toward us and has a family interest in our prosperity. And not surprisingly, he moved in really, really august circles. He knew personally many of the men whom political leaders at home were saying were trying to destroy American liberty. And he would say, yeah, a few of them maybe. There were some of them that he did despise, no doubt about that. But he also knew, because he was there and he knew these people personally and didn't just know about them from rumors spread across the Atlantic Ocean, he knew that there were many, many friends of America in England. And he knew that most others were not out to destroy colonial liberty. They might have been misguided. They might have been stubborn. Some of them, he admitted, were not very bright, but they were not evil. Thus, even when he was frustrated by government policy, Franklin was always hopeful. The popular inclination here, he would say confidently, is to wish us well and that we may preserve our liberties. Benjamin Franklin changed his tune after 1774. His humiliation at the cockpit was a critical encounter for Benjamin Franklin. He was never again the same.
And you've been listening to Sheila Skimp, and she's a renowned Franklin historian, and the book is The Making of a Patriot, Benjamin Franklin at the Cockpit. And you're learning a lot about Franklin here that we were not taught in school. I didn't know any of this until much later in life, having read quite a number of books. We have a terrific one about Franklin and the battle that he and his son had called Loyal Son. And it's about the war inside Ben Franklin's own family. So when anyone tells you Americans have never been more divided, one need only look at Ben Franklin's home to get the answer to that. When we come back, we'll find out why with Sheila Kemp here on Our American Stories. Here at Our American Stories, we bring you inspiring stories of history, sports, business, faith, and love. Stories from a great and beautiful country that need to be told. But we can't do it without you. Our stories are free to listen to, but they're not free to make. If you love our stories in America like we do, please go to OurAmericanStories.com and click the donate button. Give a little, give a lot. Help us keep the great American stories coming. That's OurAmericanStories.com.
Wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies?
I got it. No, I got it. Seriously, I insist. I insisted first.
Oh, don't be silly.
You don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash back on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot!
No!
The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ready to prioritize yourself in the new year? Your skin is a great place to start. Dime Beauty, founded by a master esthetician, is more than just a skincare company. With four skin-conscious categories, skincare, beauty, body care, and fragrance, Dime offers simple, spa-worthy products that will help you enter 2025 with confidence. Whether you're revitalizing your regimen with nourishing products or building one from scratch, Dime makes it easy. The Work System, our all-in-one best-selling routine, includes a cleanser of your choice, toner, serums, and moisturizers, taking the guesswork out of skincare for your healthiest, happiest skin yet. Dime's commitment to clean ingredients and sustainable packaging ensures every product is as gentle on your skin as it is on the planet. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews and a loyal community, the results speak for themselves. Revive your skin and give yourself the routine refresh you deserve by visiting DimeBeautyCO.com. That's DimeBeautyCO.com. Your best skin awaits.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest. Life comes at you fast, which is why it's important to find some time to relax. A little you time. Enter Chumba Casino. With no download required, you can jump on anytime, anywhere for the chance to redeem some serious prizes. So treat yourself with Chumba Casino and play over 100 online casino-style games, all for free. Go to ChumbaCasino.com to collect your free welcome bonus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions.
People thought it was impossible to build a firm, lifted booty and flatten and shrink your abs at the same time. But we've cracked the code. I'm Carl, the CEO of Body. That's Body with an I. And if you want to lose weight while you firm and tighten, even that lower pooch, you need the 80-Day Obsession Fitness and Eating Program. It's 80 workouts. You'll make progress day by day. Crazy booty gains. Flat, tight abs. We tested it. And now it's your turn. There's no subscription needed. You can get this in-home program for less than a dollar a workout and own permanent digital access. And if you buy 80 Day Obsession this week, you'll get a second program of your choice free. And if you don't see results in your butt and abs in the first 30 days, you get your money back, no questions asked. So get 80 Day Obsession this week and get a second program of your choice free. Go to 80dayobsession.com. That's 80dayobsession.com. That's 80dayobsession.com.
And we continue with Our American Stories and the story of how Ben Franklin went from being an Anglophile in the end to what we might call an Americanphile. Let's pick up where we last left off with historian Sheila Skemp.
Franklin entered a tiny room in Whitehall Palace that was known as the cockpit. on January 29th, 1774. The room was built by Henry VIII, and he used it to stage cockfights, which is why it became known as the cockpit. Long since that was no longer the case. The government used it to conduct normal official business, but the old name stuck. Franklin's appearance, physical appearance that day, was not designed to impress. He had a very old-fashioned wig on and wore a simple blue coat of Manchester velvet. He entered the room, he looked around, and he realized that all the seats were taken. And so the 68-year-old man was forced to stand as a man young enough to be his son harangued and berated him to the delight of an overthrow crowd for about an hour. Everybody who was anybody was there to watch Franklin be humiliated. Lord North was there. General Thomas Gage also managed to make it. Even the stray scientist or philosopher was squeezed into the room. Most members of the prestigious Privy Council were also there. Significantly, I think crucially, Franklin knew most of these people personally. He had hoped to be one of them. He counted them among his friends. And so from the beginning, this was personal for him as well as political. Why was he there? Ostensibly, he came to defend a petition from the Massachusetts legislature asking for the removal of two men from office, Governor Thomas Hutchinson and Lieutenant Governor Andrew Oliver. Franklin was there as an agent, which is kind of like a lobbyist for Massachusetts. And he knew when he walked in that this petition was going to be rejected. In fact, he was surprised that he even had to show up. But it was his job to go through the motions, defend it if he could, and so he was there in that capacity. Two things made what under any other circumstances would have been a mere formality into a spectacle that captured the attention of everybody in London. First, the timing could not have been worse. Franklin had been originally prepared to defend the petition on January 11th. But when he found out on January 11th that Governor Hutchinson had hired a lawyer to defend him, he thought, well, maybe I should get a lawyer to defend me too. And so he asked for a postponement. Unfortunately for him, he got it. And so instead of defending the petition on January 11th, he defended it on January 29th. 18 days. 18 days meant, in this case, a lot. Because it turned out that on January 20th, just 9 days before he appeared at the cockpit, London received word about what we now know as the Boston Tea Party. Had he gone on the original date, January 11th, he would have gotten there before news of the Boston Tea Party arrived. Rightly or wrongly, English leaders were furious at the Boston Tea Party. To them, this was the last straw. They had done, from their standpoint, everything that they could to be conciliatory towards the colonists for 10 years. And this was the thanks that they got. A bunch of Boston ruffians had thrown private property into the ocean and had shown that they had no respect for England, its laws, or its lawmakers. They were hurt. They were angry. They were frustrated. They were out for blood. They were looking for someone, anyone, to blame for the ills that beset the English Empire, and Benjamin Franklin was a convenient target. But why Franklin? He clearly had no control over the men who destroyed the tea. In fact, when he first heard about it, he was furious and said, why did they do this? He was not pleased at all. So why Franklin? Franklin himself was partly to blame, which brings us to our second reason for what happened in that room. To understand this, you have to go back a little bit and look at some background. Between 1768 and 1769, Thomas Hutchinson and Andrew Oliver had written occasional letters to a man by the name of Thomas Whately. Whately was a member of Parliament. He was a supporter of the Stamp Act. Both Oliver and Hutchinson had been victims of mob violence during the Stamp Act riots. Their houses had been destroyed. Their most prized possessions had been ground into the dust. They had barely escaped with their lives. 3 years later, for some reason, they were still angry. And so in letter after letter to Whately, they talked about the mob violence that characterized Boston. And they insisted over and over again, England must clamp down on the colonies before it was too late. Otherwise, independence would be inevitable. Thomas Whately died in 1772, but the Hutchinson-Oliver letters survived. And in the winter of 1772, someone, Franklin never told anybody who, historians still don't know who it was, somebody got possession of those letters, gave them to Franklin, and said, do with them what you will. And Franklin forwarded the letters to Thomas Cushing, who was Speaker of the House in Massachusetts. Franklin's explanation for his decision to send the letters back to Massachusetts has been, people just still shake their heads at it. This is supposed to be a smart guy. What was he thinking? He said, and he never stopped saying this, he thought that when people saw these letters, that they would feel the same way that he had. He said when he saw them, light dawned. Everything suddenly made sense. Now he knew why King and Parliament were so determined to destroy colonial liberties, which he just couldn't figure out before. Parliament's efforts to tax the colonies, the government's decision to send redcoats to Boston in 1768, which led to the Boston Massacre, came because people like Hutchinson and Oliver had intentionally misled London officials, lying to them. He thought sending these letters would bring England and America closer together. It was about as wrong a prognostication as anybody has ever made. Immediately, the Massachusetts legislature drew up a petition asking the king to remove the governor and lieutenant governor from their offices. It was an audacious demand. I mean, these people served at the discretion of the king. This was not a democracy. It wasn't going to happen. But they nevertheless sent this petition to London, and it was this petition that Franklin was trying to defend at the cockpit.
And you've been listening to renowned Franklin historian Sheila Skemp, author of The Making of a Patriot, Benjamin Franklin at the Cockpit, and now you know what the cockpit was and how it got its name from a cockfighting tradition long before this meeting. But there is Franklin in this little room, walks in, and it's a total setup. All these people he'd known, people like Lord North, General Thomas Gage, and there they are, not even leaving him a seat to sit in. And he is going to take a beat down. Total humiliation he's about to experience. When we come back, more of this remarkable story, The Making of a Patriot, Benjamin Franklin at the Cockpit, here on Our American Stories.
Wasn't that delicious?
So good.
Your bill, ladies?
I got it.
No, I got it.
Seriously, I insist.
I insisted first.
Don't be silly.
You don't be silly.
People with the Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card prefer to pay because they earn unlimited 2% cash back on purchases.
Okay, rock, paper, scissors for it.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
No! The Wells Fargo Active Cash credit card. Visit wellsfargo.com/activecash. Terms apply.
Ready to prioritize yourself in the new year? Your skin is a great place to start. Dime Beauty, founded by a master esthetician, is more than just a skincare company. With four skin-conscious categories, skincare, beauty, body care, and fragrance, Dime offers simple, spa-worthy products that will help you enter 2025 with confidence. Whether you're revitalizing your regimen with nourishing products or building one from scratch, Dime makes it easy. The Work System, our all-in-one best-selling routine, includes a cleanser of your choice, toner, serums, and moisturizers, taking the guesswork out of skincare for your healthiest, happiest skin yet. Dime's commitment to clean ingredients and sustainable packaging ensures every product is as gentle on your skin as it is on the planet. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews and a loyal community, the results speak for themselves. Revive your skin and give yourself the routine refresh you deserve by visiting DimeBeautyCO.com. That's DimeBeautyCO.com. Your best skin awaits.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms.
People thought it was impossible to build a firm, lifted booty and flatten and shrink your abs at the same time. But we've cracked the code. I'm Carl, the CEO of Body. That's Body with an I. And if you want to lose weight while you firm and tighten, even that lower pooch, you need the 80-Day Obsession Fitness and Eating Program. It's 80 workouts. You'll make progress day by day. Crazy booty gains. Flat, tight abs. We tested it. And now it's your turn. There's no subscription needed. You can get this in-home program for less than a dollar a workout and own permanent digital access. And if you buy 80 Day Obsession this week, you'll get a second program of your choice free. And if you don't see results in your butt and abs in the first 30 days, you get your money back, no questions asked. So get 80 Day Obsession this week and get a second program of your choice free. Go to 80dayobsession.com. That's 80dayobsession.com. That's 80dayobsession.com.
Right now, get up to 25% off select online storage solutions. Put heavy-duty HDX totes to good use, protecting what's important to you. The solid, impact-resistant design prevents cracking, and the clear base and sides make items easy to find even when the totes are stacked. Find select online shelving and tote storage up to 25% off at the Home Depot. To organize every room in your home, from your garage to your attic, visit homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
And we continue with our American stories and the story of the making of a patriot. We're talking about Benjamin Franklin's time at the cockpit. And there he was. He found himself in 1774 in that room with all of British high society and every aspect of British society, from the military to letters to lords and nobles. Let's pick up where we last left off with Sheila Skimp, author of The Making of a Patriot.
And so when he walked into the cockpit, Franklin encountered the perfect storm. The king's men were furious about the Tea Party. They were furious about Franklin's use of the Hutchinson Oliver letters. They had put two and two together, and they had come to the conclusion that it was Franklin's fault that the relationship between Massachusetts and England was so bad. He was to blame for the petition. He was even to blame for the Boston Tea Party. Still, even though he knew that people were mad, Franklin was not ready for what happened to him in the cockpit. One man stood up to defend Hutchinson and Oliver. His name was Alexander Wedderburn. He was the Attorney General of the King. He was known everywhere for his ability to use words as weapons. He was an orator par excellence, and he was never in better form. General Gage said, Wedderburn was serious, pathetic, and severe by turns. and it was the attack on Franklin, not a defense of Hutchinson, which he hardly even mentioned, that was at the heart of Wedderburn's performance. Franklin, he said, was the leader of a secret cabal whose members were determined to destroy the empire. He was a true incendiary who had intentionally set the whole province in flame. On and on he went. I've just picked a few of the worst things he said. I mean, it just went on just forever, it seemed like, I'm sure, especially to Franklin. By any standard, it was a spectacular performance. The audience loved it. They hooted, they applauded, as Wedderburn, in one man's words, poured forth such a torrent of virulent abuse on Dr. Franklin as no man had ever endured before. And through it all, Franklin stood, said nothing, didn't even allow his facial expression to change. He thought that a common criminal would not have been subject to the treatment he received at the cockpit. Finally, it was over. Wedderburn sat down. He invited his victim to respond. Franklin simply said, "I do not choose to be examined." And there was nothing more to say. And he walked out of the room. And as he walked out, he looked at everybody gathered around Wedderburn, congratulating him on his brilliant performance, shaking his hand, slapping him on the back. No one in that room seemed to understand what they had just done. They had turned a loyal English subject into a patriot in less than an hour's time. In short order, the Privy Council rejected the Massachusetts petition, which they could have and should have done without any of this grand display. 2 days later, Franklin was fired from his position as the King's deputy postmaster of the American colonies, a position he'd had for two decades. On his own, he resigned his position as Massachusetts agent, knowing full well that whatever use he had been to the colony was at an end. He was now a private man with no one to serve, no job to do. It's impossible to overstate the significance of Franklin's humiliation at the cockpit. It was devastating. He was a proud and loyal empire man. And now he was a committed patriot. At the time, he tried to pretend that it didn't matter. He said, "I've not lost a single friend as a result of this. People are coming to my rooms every day and telling me that they still support me and that they're indignant at the unworthy treatment that I received." He told his sister Jane that he was proud that he had lost his post office job. This was a badge of honor. He said that he never tried to defend himself, but just kept a cool, sullen silence. That wasn't exactly true. After the cockpit, Franklin's mood darkened perceptibly. His vision changed in a variety of ways. Let me just give you a couple of quick examples, kind of the before and after picture. Before the cockpit, he laughed when he heard people like Samuel Adams and Patrick Henry say that the king and his ministers were the masterminds of an insidious plot to destroy colonial liberty. He said, "This is paranoid. I know these people. This is not true. They respect us. They love our liberties. Again, they make a mistake now and then, but this does not mean evil intention." After January of 1774, Franklin said, "The men who hold the reins of power in England look at Americans with total disdain." If somebody like Wedderburn could sneer at him, a world-renowned scientist, a man of letters, a talented man, what must he think of ordinary Americans? If ministers who had once told him that they thought he deserved a position in the government were laughing uproariously at Wedderburn's jibes, how could Franklin cling to the belief that Englishmen would ever join the colonies in this pan-empirical empire that would be the envy of the world. I don't think it's an accident that on the day he signed the Franco-American Treaty of Alliance in 1778, he put on that same suit of Manchester velvet to sign the peace treaty. It was like he was saying, "You got me then, I've got you now." So America would have survived without Benjamin Franklin, as much as I think he would hate to think that that was the case. But I don't think Franklin would have done so well without America. He made mistake after mistake after mistake and somehow ended up landing on his feet. And he landed on his feet because he made one decision that allowed most observers then and especially now to forget all the other mistakes he ever made. He embraced independence. His poor son, William, was a loyalist and was on the losing side, and who but me has ever heard of William Franklin? But Benjamin Franklin made the right choice. In doing this, he has gone down in history as one of the most valuable members of the new nation's founding generation. And it was the cockpit that made him make that decision when and how he did.
And a terrific job on the editing and production by our own Greg Hengler. And a special thanks to Sheila Skimp, author of The Making of a Patriot, Benjamin Franklin at the Cockpit. And we learn, look, he was entering the cockpit. It was a perfect storm. "I do not choose to be examined," were Franklin's words after the beatdown he experienced. And then, of course, he turns and becomes what would become a major part of our revolution and one of our founding fathers. But I love what Kemp said. America could have survived without Franklin, no doubt. Franklin could not have survived without America. The story of the making of a patriot, Benjamin Franklin at the cockpit, here on Our American Stories.
Everyone's buzzing about QuickBooks lately. Rumor has it they changed the game. It's true. With AI-powered automation and insights, you're in control of your business cash flow. Now QuickBooks can do even more. This is big, people. You can see customer trends, get real-time insights, stay on top of your invoices, and say goodbye to financial spreadsheets. It's like you've hired an entire crew. That's worth celebrating. Get 50% off QuickBooks Online Advanced and Payroll. Duration period 3 months. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you still quoting 30-year-old movies? Have you said, "cool beans" in the past 90 days? Do you think Discover isn't widely accepted? If this sounds like you, you're stuck in the past. Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. And every time you make a purchase with your card, you automatically earn cash back. Welcome to the now. It pays to Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms.
Joel, the holidays are a blast, but the financial hangover, that can be a huge bummer. If you are out there and you're dreading the new statement email that reveals the massive balance that you may have racked up, well, you could use our help.
That's right. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And we're from the How To Money podcast. Our show is all about helping you make sense of your personal finances so you can ditch your pesky credit card debt once and for all, make real progress on other crucial financial goals that you've got, and just feel more in control of your money in general.
You know it. For money advice without the judgment and jargon, listen to How to Money on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you want a shortcut to the best version of you? Here it is. Feed the Good Wolf. I'm Eric Zimmer, host of The One You Feed. Every week, I talk to brilliant minds and brave souls about the art of small, powerful choices. Our listeners say it all.
This is a lifeline.
Transformational.
The best antidote to a bad mood I've ever heard.
Join the pack and start feeding your best self. Listen to The One You Feed on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.